Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 170. Thou shalt remember that we spend most of our 30s fixing things that we broke in our 20s. When it comes to aging, I used to absolutely detest it, and I would cringe at so little as the thought of coming to the end of my 20s. But then I turned 30, and as if overnight, my life got exponentially better. At 30, you really just come into your own. And speaking from personal experience, I left everything from fuckboys right through to cookie dresses back in that disastrous decade. The problem is, though, some of the bad habits that you formed in your 20s follow you right on into your 30s, at which point you know that it's high time to make a change. And that's exactly what Bianca Ivmailovsky did. For my diehard OG podcast listeners, you'll remember B from my live podcast show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, where, in a nutshell, we did some mukbang ASMR, slut dropped to Christina Aguilera, and made some wild confessions whilst on stage. We also drank way too much, and P.S., we were both in our 20s at the time. But a hop, skip, jump, and a new decade later, and Bianca has done a full 180 with her life. In this chat, the two main things we address are her decision to stop drinking as well as her open relationship. So I decided that to give this conversation the airtime it deserves, I've split it out into part one and part two. In case you can't tell from all of the laughing, I thoroughly enjoyed this chat as much as I thoroughly enjoy this chick. So without further ado, let's kick off part one. Just a little disclaimer before we get started. This episode does contain conversations around alcohol, addiction, and anxiety that may be triggering to some. Well, welcome back to the podcast, Bianca. It has been like more than a red hot minute.
It has been what, like 2 years?
More yes.
Than, yes.
So the last time you were on the show was when I did my live podcast show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, where I think it's safe to say that we were two pretty different people.
Yeah, big time. Bloody big time. Honestly, yeah. I don't recognize that version of myself.
Yeah, a lot has changed. And firstly, are you still doing We Want to Be Better with Annie?
No, we're not doing that anymore.
Oh, but you have your own podcast.
I do. And I'm actually meeting someone next week to perhaps start another one. So yeah, just, you know, like, why not? Why not add more stress to my life?
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that for you. Love that for me. So should we take it back to the beginning maybe for those who don't know where we were 2 years ago, particularly for yourself, because in the last 2 years, you have also gone sober.
Yeah, I've been sober now for 2.5 years.
Oh my God. Do you know my mum actually hit 15 years this year?
Wow, congratulations to your mum. That's huge.
So exciting. And I think that is one of the main things I wanted to talk to you about today, because I think there is so much misconception around sobriety. And I think that people have this really preconceived idea about what an unhealthy relationship with alcohol is. And I feel like, firstly, are people like shook when you tell them that you are like 30 years old and that you don't drink?
Yeah. Everyone's reaction is no. You know what? They don't even think about me. They just immediately want to tell me that they don't drink that much. Like, they're just so worried that the spotlight is being shined on them, or that I'm going to judge them because they drink. And they're like, oh, well, I don't drink that much. I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. I don't care. But yeah, I think also, no, people do. If I'm out, that's when people are really shocked, because they're like, how could you possibly be out having fun if you're not drinking? And I'm like, oh, you must really hate what we're doing if you couldn't do this sober. So,
yeah. And I think that before we go right back to when you stop drinking, I want to just say outright, because I think that I have a little bit of experience this from just my mum and being around my mum. And I think that
she doesn't like the term alcoholic or anything, and she went to like a rehab facility, but she checked herself in. It was completely, and I think when you hear the term alcoholic, you think about someone who's pouring whiskey into their coffee cup at 9 a.m. and you think of someone who was just paralytic and vomiting all the time and just drunk everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Having an alcohol dependence is just like having a disordered relationship with food, which so many of us have, or with anything. And I think that people like me and my mum have very addictive personalities, and so I think it's just easy to kind of fall into unhealthy relationship patterns. Is that kind of what happened with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember when I first stopped drinking, I didn't want to call myself an alcoholic because I was like, in my head, that's not what I am. You know, like I also had this preconceived notion of like what an alcoholic is. And now 2.5 years on, I'm like, oh yeah, no, like I probably, yeah, that was an alcoholic. And when people ask me like, you know, about it, I just say that I was an alcoholic. It's an easy shorthand, I think, actually. I think the issue is that people don't realize that alcoholic is like, so
broad.
So broad, yeah. And I think people have this idea, yeah, as you're right, like, oh, well, you know, I haven't lost my job because of drinking or this. But I don't think people realize that like the term alcoholic basically is like really anyone that has a negative relationship with alcohol, or like if your drinking isn't making you happy. And when you tell that to people, they often are a little bit alarmed because they're like, oh yeah, drinking doesn't make me happy either. But I haven't gotten to that point where I think it's a problem. And I'm like, yeah, no, if it's making you unhappy, cut it out, babe.
Yeah, or if you're using it as a crux. Like there's some people who say that they are so anxious in social situations that they just drink to try and give them a little bit of confidence, and they can't go out in social settings without drinking. And I think that's something my mum used to say about her teenage years, is she was such a hyper self-conscious young girl, and she thought that she would be seen as like the cool, funny girl if she drank more, and it gave her more confidence. And so she recognized that in herself from when she was super, super young.
I was kind of the same though as well. Like I am a confident person, but I was like, yeah, alcohol will make me cool. It'll make me fit in. And then you see the footage of yourself and you're like, no, that's not cool. And why would anyone want to hang out with me? Because that does not make me fit in. But yeah, I think society pressure to drink definitely.
Oh my God, especially in Australian culture. We have such a binge drinking culture. And I'm the first to admit I probably partake in that because I don't drink.
I know.
Daily. I've never drunk during the week, and I don't drink every single weekend, but when I drink, I don't just have one or two wines.
I never did. Like straight up never did. Because I would be like, well, I'm there. So yeah, like, you know, but totally. I think, the binge drinking in Australia is really out of control. It's, it's just a part of our life. People don't even, you know, like I will have events now. Like I don't say to people, come out one night with me and you can't drink, because like I understand for other people it might be difficult to go to a bar and not drink, but I'll like arrange my birthday around events that don't involve drinking. Like this year I was like, let's all go play badminton, and people still are sort of like, oh, and then we'll go out to the pub after. I'm like, no, babe, blah, I just,
yeah, this play. Is it.
Yeah, this is it, you yeah. know. And people just can't get their heads around the fact of like, oh, we could do something together that doesn't involve alcohol, because it's so ingrained in our culture that people just think we do it to celebrate. We do it when we're having a bad day. We do it for Christmas, birthdays, like every single thing is surrounding alcohol. So when you say, I don't drink, people kind of, yeah, lose their minds, because they're like, well, what do you do? And
yeah.
Like, oh my God. So everything, I do everything now. Whereas before it was literally one thing, just drinking.
Or unless you have a legitimized reason not to drink. So that earlier in the year after I had surgery, I didn't drink for 8 weeks as a choice.
Yeah.
And I would go out places. I'd still go. Obviously, I'm still going to go out with my friends to dinner and to birthdays and things like that. And people would say, oh, come on, just have one wine. And I was like, I don't want to though.
Yeah.
Like what is your agenda?
Yeah, I know. Because as well, that's the thing as well. People really, if you're out at dinner and you're the first person to order your drink and you're like, I'll have a red, and then no one else orders alcohol, you often are like, oh, we're not all drinking? Oh, then don't worry, I'll just get a soda as well. Because it is that thing of, oh, well, if everyone else is doing it, it's okay. And so people do want you to drink because it's easier for them to be okay with their drinking. So yeah, like people don't like hearing that you don't drink, because they immediately just think, oh, great, like, what am I, a drinker? Because I couldn't stop drinking. Yeah.
So then what was the turning point for you? How old were you when you stopped drinking?
29.
And why? Was there like a moment or something that you decided that you needed to stop doing it?
Yeah, it was a slow roll. It really crept up. Like, I didn't think I had a problem. And I know that people had said in my life, like, bees drinking. But I kind of saw it as a badge of honor. I was like, it's cool to drink, right? Which is really easy to think in Australian culture because we're, again, like so built up around alcohol.
And I'll just say that we had a couple of Skype dates before we did our podcast show in Melbourne and we were rip-roaring drunk on all of them.
Please do not. The memories I have of myself drunk, but yeah, I have a vague memory of that. Like I remember
it happened.
It was like meant to be, yeah, it was meant to be a short Zoom call.
I think it was like 5 hours or something.
Yeah, I know.
We got deep. Full life stories.
But yeah, so I was like totally fine with drinking. Didn't think I had a problem. Didn't really realize it wasn't making me happy because I just grew up thinking alcohol equals fun. I drink a lot of alcohol, therefore I am fun and this is fun. And then I got put on this medication and was told I could only have like 2 drinks a maximum at a time and only 3 days a week. So like naturally I was crying in the doctor's office like my life is over. And at that point, my then husband said, oh, well, I'm actually kind of glad that this has happened because I really don't like your drinking, which was alarming to me because I was like, I thought I was perfect. So this is news to me.
Had he ever said anything before?
No, he never had. I mean, I thought he found my drinking problem endearing, actually. So
did he used to drink with you as much as you would drink?
Either. So, like, okay. I guess that must have made it so much worse. You know, like, there would just be times where I would, like, call him, begging him to bring me, like, 10 chicken and cheeseburgers from McDonald's. Like, not – I was like, if you come in the door with 5, you're out of here. It has to be 10. Like, I could maybe eat 2 of those, but I was like, bring 10.
And me 10. Yeah.
Went and got them. And when he came home, I passed out and he couldn't wake me up. And the 10 chicken burgers went nowhere. So, like, if that was me and I did that for someone, I'd be out the door. So, yeah.
If this makes you feel better, sorry for the cutoff segue. But one time when I was drunk, when I was 18, I drove through the Macca's drive through on the way home from a night out and I ordered not a large chips, a brown paper bag full of chips. And they were like, no, but how many chips do you want? I was like, the brown paper bag
fill it up
full. And I woke up the next day and they were in my bed and not one chip from that brown packet had been eaten.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst part about it is that – and then I woke up the next day and I was like, can I reheat this chicken burger? Like, yeah, like this is bad.
Is it even chicken?
Yeah, it was bad and I know it. I really should have known that he didn't like it, but he never said anything and he eventually said something and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, good thing I'm on this medication then, right? Like I'm going to rein it in. And yeah, being on the medication actually made me really sick and to be honest, I really just could not drink. And so it was kind of good and I started to see that like, oh, I actually don't like being drunk or like I like going to the pub and just having 2. And then still getting to come home, like I don't like writing myself off. And I really started to see that like, oh, okay, I don't like being that trash bag girl anymore. So like, cool for me, I've learned my lesson. But unfortunately, I got taken off the medication because it made me too sick. And at which point I did have a little panic because I was like, okay, without that medication anymore, am I going to have 3 beers, 4 beers? But I was so sure that I'd changed my ways that I thought I'm going to be chill. But the thing is, like, alcohol is an addictive substance and also it's really hard to moderate when you're dealing with an addictive substance. And it's particularly hard to moderate when your inhibitions become, like, clouded. Like, everything just gets harder. So, yeah, some days I would not drink that much. I would go out and I would only have a few and I felt so good about myself. But then other times I would wake up not knowing how I got home, completely embarrassed. And it became really frustrating because I knew my husband didn't like it. I realized I didn't like it. And I was like, well, why can't I do this? Like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why am I like this? And that went on for about a year. And it was really hard.
Of you actively trying to
not
kind
actively
of stop
trying
drinking
to stop, but trying to moderate. Because I didn't think I could cut out alcohol ever. Because I was like, oh, you know, it's completely my fave thing ever. And like, I need to have those nights where I get really shit faced. But the more I looked at my sobriety, like the times I was sober, the more I started to really appreciate those times. Like if I was hanging out with my friends and alcohol wasn't involved, I would genuinely have a better time. And I was like, oh, okay, so I actually have fun when I'm not drinking, and just started to notice it more. And then the last straw, so I had gone to Sovereign Hill one day, which is like this museum in Ballarat, which sounds really lame, but it's literally, it was the best day of my life. Like everyone says Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. No, Sovereign Hill is, it's like a mining museum. It sounds lame, but people that have been there know it's the shit. And I didn't drink all day. I didn't even like think about alcohol, and I just had such a good day. And I was like, oh my God, like I love not drinking. This is so good. And when I got home, yeah. My husband had offered me like a Chianti, and I was like, all right, Hannibal Lecter, no, I don't want your Chianti. Like I don't even want it. Like I'm sober. I'm not drinking today. But the next day I went to the netball, and my friend said after the game, like, let's go to the pub. And I was like, oh, I don't want to. I really don't want to go. I've got work tomorrow. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. But I went, and the whole time in my head, I'm like, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing this. I got a beer. I'm drinking it. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't even want this. Like, I don't want to be drinking it. And then the next thing I know, I woke up the next day, could not remember the night before except for some really awful memories and just so embarrassed, and I had to call in sick for work, and I was just like, this is fucked. Like I didn't even want to go, so what the fuck is wrong with me? And I'd seen this book a few months ago that was like how to control alcohol, like the alcohol experiment, and I couldn't buy it at the time because I'd spent all my money at the pub. But the point is, I was like I was like, oh, maybe I'll read that book one day. And I thought, this is the day. I'm downloading that to my Kindle. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking reading this book. And I read it in 2 days, and I've never touched alcohol since. And it was just like, it just changed my view on alcohol, and I've never gone back, and I never will.
Oh my God. And your whole life has completely changed. And I feel like that day after is something that everybody can relate to, whether or not you have an alcohol dependency. And I think we all have those nights where you wake up with anxiety and you like absolutely cringe at something you said or did, or there's like a Snapchat video of you or something. And
oh my
it's
God,
just,
immediately delete your Instagram story. Like immediately erasing.
You know that meme that's like when you wake up the next day and realize that you're not the same carefree hoe you were the night before?
Yeah, 100%. Like it's, it is the, I just, that feeling of waking up and having no memory is just, and like terrifying. Throwing my phone away. I would just throw my phone away and be like, I'm not available today. No one can contact me because I'm sure everyone hates me. God knows what I did last night, but why would anyone want to be my friend? Like, and you know, and it's interesting as well because my confidence was so shaken. It's so funny because we say like, oh yeah, I use alcohol to give me confidence. But like those anxiety moments are so crippling to your confidence mm-hmm. in the long run.
Yeah.
That I was like a confident-ish person, but those things were crippling me, and I struggled to want to make podcasts because I was like, oh, I'm the worst. Why would anyone even want to hear from me? You know, like it just crippled my confidence. And so not having those moments anymore is heaven, because that is the fucking worst.
Yeah, particularly if you're somebody who is like partial to anxiety, or like if you have existing mental health conditions or anything, I think that just fuels it and yeah. makes it that much worse.
Yeah, 100%. It would be really difficult having anxiety. Actually, yeah, I have friends that have anxiety, and they'll like message me the day after they drink, and they're like, oh, this is, I'm suicidal. I'm like, yeah, like, there's a chemical reaction that happens in your brain. It literally causes a chemical storm, and you're helpless to it. There's nothing you can do. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Do you miss anything about it? Like, do you miss the taste? Oh, do you God, miss no. the – no?
No. The taste, sometimes I think about the taste because someone will, like, say, let's get Patron or something, and I just remember.
You remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Yuck. Patron is not something you
I
would
know,
miss.
Why?
What is wrong with
people
them?
People like, I love Fireball. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, no, because
– grow up.
Okay, no, when I think of doing a Jaeger bomb, that's when I really, that is the worst. That is, you cannot avoid
oh
the splashback
my God, yuck.
For one. Like you drop that shot glass in, it splashes up in your face. You're chugging that Red Bull. Disgusting.
Your whole body is sticky.
True. And like,
your heart starts racing from all the Red Bull.
Yeah, presumably you're like in your teenage years, because only an 18-year-old would find doing a Jaeger bomb thrilling. But yeah, no, I don't miss the taste. What do I miss about? I don't miss anything about it.
Because one thing my mum does say is that sometimes, and this is very specific, but she did enjoy the taste of beer or wine. And I remember when we were growing up and we were teenagers and, you know, starting to drink and stuff, she was like, I'll allow you to have like a sip of my beer or wine, because with beer and wine, it's the taste, but I'm not going to give you a sip of a cruiser when you can just have some cordial or some soft right. drink, or, you know what I mean? And so sometimes on like, and this is what I mean by specific, she'll say on a hot Sunday afternoon after she's mowed the lawn, God, I'd love a cold beer right now.
Yeah, very specific. It only ever when I'm mowing the lawn do I miss it. No, that is very oddly specific. I don't miss the taste at all. Interestingly, because the taste of alcohol is just ethanol. It's like there's no difference between yeah. what you pour into the petrol, like your petrol tank. Like it's actual ethanol. It's a poison. Mm. And so your body naturally, like when you think about the first time you had a sip of alcohol and your body recoils at it, that's because your body is like, this is poison, let's not have it. But we have to train yeah. ourselves to like it. And so when you don't have it for ages, you don't miss it because it is a poison. It's not like I'm thinking, oh, I'd love to chug some Dettol, please. Yeah, put some salt on the rim. That sounds delicious. Like, no, I don't want that. I don't crave that. And as well, what's interesting is like I love a mocktail because they are so much more delicious when you're not trying to hide the taste of ethanol. Like it is like, I don't miss anything about it. I understand the thing about the cold beer. You can get pretty good faux beers.
Yes, which I spoke about this last week in the podcast. I had a dietitian on and we're talking about navigating the silly season and how many good alcohol-free alternatives there are now, like the alcohol-free G&Ts. Yeah. They taste the same.
Yeah, except without that taste of poison in the background, just that like little aftertaste of poison. I mean, the beers are fine, I think. I think if you do like the taste of wine, you're shit out of luck when it comes to non-alcoholic wines, only because
it tastes like sparkling apple
juice. Yeah, it's just apple juice in my opinion. Like a champagne, like a faux champagne, I can sort of get around because at least it's got the bubbles. But yeah, when it's just a wine, like a still wine, I'm like, babe, that is just apple juice. And like, I'm glad that alternative exists, but like when I first got sober, I was smashing the non-alcoholic wines like you would not believe. But then after a while, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, I would actually just rather like something delicious. Like,
I feel like half of it would be habitual too, right?
Big time, yeah. Like that that thing of a Friday arvo, getting home and it's like the weekend, having that after
separation 100%. From like weekday to weekend.
Yeah, yeah, and that was like I definitely did drink like a little non-alcoholic wine or non-alcoholic beer when I first got sober because I was like, I need to have that knockoff. But after a while, I sort of realized that all it really is a moment for myself. Like it doesn't have to be alcohol. And I'm glad it isn't because that used to be my biggest trip up. Like I started drinking like low alcohol beers at that time because I was like, I know I need to have that beer, but I keep just letting the night get away from me. And then I start the weekend off on like the worst note. So I'm just going to have like low alcohol, but then of course I would drink six of those and then be like, oh, well now I'll start on the full beers. So it was just such a bad way to go. But yeah, having a non-alcoholic wine at the end of the week was good. And then after a while I was sort of like, oh, I actually don't need anything. And it just sort of falls to the side.
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend a walk because I obviously do like a drink, but I do not drink on Friday nights because my favorite gym class is on Saturday morning, nice and early. So I do not let anything come between me and that, but I honestly need something to separate myself from the week or the work day and a little river walk.
I love a river walk, babe. That's such a good point.
One of the best things to come, I think, out of COVID and lockdowns is our silly little daily walks.
Oh man, I tell you, I am a slut for a walk, I tell you. and I'm not joking. Like I actually made myself so sick because I was walking so much and I have chronic illnesses and I had to see an exercise physiologist and he was like, you have to stop walking. He's like,
How far were you walking? Like voyaging Australia?
Oh yeah, like, I don't know, 10Ks. Just like a daily walk, apparently he's like run, go for a half hour run, but don't be going for these hour and a half two-hour walks. It's excessive. And I was like, babe, I live in Melbourne and the only thing I can do is fucking walk. But yeah, apparently it was just like destroying my energy. Yeah, my energy levels.
Oh, your energy
levels.
Yeah,
so apparently, no walks for me. I've had to go on like a small – I can go do like a 10-minute walk at a time, which is like bullshit. I'm like, I want to – you know I want to do an hour and a half walk, babe.
Oh my God. Okay. So then you gave up drinking. What else happened in your life at that point? Did you lose friends over it?
I did. I lost, in hindsight, if you think about it, when you cut out one thing from your life, it doesn't like your life is not compartmentalized. So it was a snowball effect for things to happen. Yep. But definitely what happened is I lost people in my life because once I got sober, I had more confidence. I had more respect for myself. I was more aware of my capabilities. Like I knew that I could do anything that I put my mind to. And I started to not settle for things that were not good enough for me. And that included friendships that I would, I'd have friends with people that didn't treat me the best or took a lot from me. And when you get sober, it's interesting how much it just makes you take better care of yourself and you sort of realize like, nah, I'm not putting up with that anymore. And so I started setting boundaries and I lost a lot of people in my life from it because, drunk Bianca just let people, I think her confidence was bad and she kind of thought, people put up with a lot of my shit, my drunken shit. I should just be lucky that I have these people in my life as it is. And then I got sober and I was like, actually, I'm fucking fantastic. I do nothing wrong. And frankly, I don't want you treating me like this. And then, it's interesting how many people just go, nah.
I think you also realize at that point too, and I have said this a couple of times, maybe not on the podcast, but I know it's definitely been a point of discussion with friends, particularly as you get older and the clubbing and going out and stuff kind of really slows down. You really realize who your daytime and nighttime friends are. And I feel like your nighttime friends are people that you only really hang out with or interact with when there's drinking involved. And so you don't actually know that much about their life. If something was going on with you, they wouldn't be the one that you'd go get a coffee with, go on a little silly little walk with. And I feel like those are the ones that are really easy to just like drop off.
100%. You realize when you're hanging out with someone and you can't just turn to drinking to make it fun, you realize that you're like, I actually don't like you. I used to just hang out with you because you would always be up for a drink. But now I realize I don't like you. And I definitely lost people in my life. And it was like it's been such a huge evolution that it wasn't just immediate. Like I've lost people as I've been going, but I've gained so many better people in the way. Yeah. But, you really just sort of realize like, I do deserve better than this. Or I want to have fun with people who don't need to drink and I want to have boundaries that I set and people listen to them or treat me with respect. Mm-hmm. And people fall aside to the side. But I mean, at the same time, because I know that people do have that fear of, oh shit, if I got sober, I would lose my friends. And I always just say like, a friend that only wants you around because you drink is no friend, babe. Like don't be changing your life just for that friend because never.
Never. And so was your husband happy that you stopped drinking?
Oh, well, I'm sure now he's not. But at the time he was. He was very happy because he was like, oh, great. Like Bianca doesn't drink anymore. But now we're divorced. So.
Yes. Can we go there?
Oh, yeah, we can go there.
Yeah, because I think the next thing I want to talk to you about is relationships because that is another big thing that has changed you in a massive way. So 2 years ago, last time I saw you, you were married. Yeah. Now you are not.
Now I've just filled out the divorce papers. Like we've got a court date. It's going ahead. Wow. Yeah, it's real. It is real, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But you are in a relationship?
Yes.
Yes, an open relationship. So I listened to your podcast that you did in Life Uncut and it was a phenomenal episode.
Oh my God, thank you.
Like a phenomenal episode. It was so interesting. And I feel like, do you watch that show You Can't Ask That? Yes. Love that show. I love that show and I would highly recommend for everybody to watch it. I watched every single episode and it is so insightful and so enlightening for people to ask things that they would never usually have the guts to ask someone to their face. But I feel like you are such an open book and you are such... like an advocate for like honesty and stuff. So I kind of wanted to have a chat to you about that.
Please do. Please do. Yeah. It's funny because okay. I got the idea of polyamory. Oh, well, open relationships from the polyamory episode of You Can't Ask That.
Did you really?
Yeah, I remember watching it and being like, okay, these people have it fucking figured out. And I remember just but I could never do it because I'm too jealous. I'm too jealous. And like, now look at me.
Guys, how mean is this? But we are going to end it there. But make sure you tune in next week for part two of my chat to Bianca as we delve into the depths of her open relationship.